Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown, gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Thank you, Derek. If you've got an older version of the NIV, it will be slightly different. If you've got other versions, it will be slightly different, and we'll have an opportunity to see in just a moment. We're at the end of a very short series, the shortest series that perhaps we've ever preached on since I've been here. 3 Good Sermons, it was entitled, where we've been looking at some parables that Jesus spoke about where he's referring to some things as being good. And so we started with looking at what was good about the Samaritan and suggested he was good because in response to a need around him, he was moved with compassion, he expressed compassion, and he incurred cost. His response was heartfelt and sacrificial. And then we looked at what was so good about the soil and suggested it was good because it was a place of fruitfulness. And we saw how our lives can be good soil if we allow God's word to be heard and accepted, understood and retained. And today we're in our last one of the series and we're looking at what was so good about the servants. And in a sense, this parable is slightly different than the other two, in that the first one, you had 3 bad examples of the way people treated people and 1 good example. And in the second one, you had 3 bad soils and 1 good one. But in this one, you've got 2 good servants and 1 bad one. So the scenario is that a wealthy man leaves his servants in charge of his money while he's away, which seems very odd thing to do. It seems quite risky maybe not too secure. You would think putting it into a bank might make it a bit more secure, but he chose to leave it with his servants, perhaps assuming that they would manage to generate more money than it would have been through the interest in the bank. It tends to be referred to as the parable of the talents. A talent was a measure of weight, a bit like we would use a kilogram, so that if you have a bag of gold, then it would be a talent of gold. It will weigh equivalent to a talent. If you look at the New Living Translation, it refers to it being a talent of silver, which they're dealing with in the one bag of silver. Other versions talk about bags of gold. And some suggest that a talent of gold would be equivalent to something between 20 and 40 times your annual salary. So just think for a moment what your annual salary is, or what it was before you retired. And then take a middle one, multiply that 30 times, your annual salary, multiply 30 times, that would be equivalent to perhaps the one talent, the one bag of gold. So then the person who then had eight of those, it's 240 times your annual salary. So it's kind of a big fortune depending on how much money you earn per year. But he had to decide to distribute that amongst his servants. And the story comes in between two other stories where Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and how people should prepare for it. So it starts in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. The image is of a wedding and bridesmaids waiting for the groom to arrive. And at the end of Matthew 25, we've got the image of sheep and goats and how God's going to separate them at the end of time. It's all talking about being kind to those who are needy. And in the middle of all of this, we have this story about bags of gold and looking after that money while the person's away. Presumably the illustration is Jesus is away and then he's going to return again, and this is how you should prepare. And so it begins with these words, it's like a man, this is the older version of the NIV, and a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To them he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So even though they were given different amounts of money, they all had exactly the same task. The one with five bags had exactly the same task as the one with two and the one. The one with five may have had more responsibility, but they still had the same job. Presumably he gave more to the one steward, perhaps because he'd been with him for a long period of time and therefore he could trust him more. So let's read it together. We've watched it visually, we've heard someone read it to us, so let's read it together, what happened. This is from verse 16 to 18, Matthew 25. Let's read. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained two bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. I gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him, and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's tempting to miss that last bit out, isn't it? Because the story kind of ends with a bit of a negative there, but we'll get to that perhaps a little bit later on. So what is the parable all about? We've heard it in different forms, in different ways. Well, some suggest it's a statement about social injustice. Because really, what happens here is that the rich get rich and the poor get poorer. The man who has the most ends up with even more. And the one with the very little ends up with none at all. So that's a statement on social injustice. Though Jesus did come to bring good news to the poor, I'm not totally sure that that was the point of the parable in why he brought it. Another one is suggesting that it's talking about scribes and Pharisees and that Jesus is rebuking them because they've been entrusted with the word of God and they've abused that. They haven't used it to multiply good things into the life of other people, but instead they've used it to bring condemnation, legalistic burdens on them so they're not growing. And so they've been a worthless servant who's kind of kept it to themselves and not used it to produce growth. Another idea is that it's all about stewarding God's money for the kingdom. It's all about money. Everything belongs to God, and he's given us the responsibility to manage his wealth. And so he's given us the power to get wealth, but ultimately it's all his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so we've been given responsibility to manage his money. And there's merit in that application. We are stewards of God's stuff. But it might be that Jesus also has some more spiritual application than just being about money. Two other interpretations tend to be the most popular ones in regard to this particular parable. The first one is it's talking about salvation. And the gold, in a sense, the talents symbolize God's grace given to us, the grace of shown to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus, offering forgiveness and salvation from sin. Those who receive God's great gift of mercy, it multiplies in their lives and bears fruit and is shared all around the kingdom. That's what the good servants do. They double what they were given. But the bad servant did nothing with the grace of God. He rejects it, despises it, put it out of sight, did far less than the least, because the least he could have done was put it into the bank and got some interest. He did even less than that by burying it, and he despised what he had been given. And so in the parable, the two good servants celebrate when the landowner comes back, and they're invited into the house to be able to spend and rejoicing, because they've accepted and received the forgiveness of Jesus. But the one who rejected the grace of God is cast out into the place of darkness. That's a very somber application, but it does have other scriptural balancing merits behind it, because it's supported by John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Peter said in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, talking about Jesus. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we may be saved. So both Peter and Jesus said the only way to be saved from sin is through Jesus. Rejecting him means we're condemned in our sin. Accepting him means that we are forgiven. So one brings us into the presence of God for all eternity, and one rejects us for all eternity. So that kind of application of this parable does fit with other scriptures. So what was so good about the servants with that is that they received the grace and mercy of God, shown through Jesus' offer of salvation and forgiveness of sin. And that's a call to all of us, to receive what God has done for us personally. Invite Jesus into our life, not despise it and treat it with contempt, because there will be consequences. So, social injustice, scribes and Pharisees, stewarding money, salvation. Maybe some, maybe all of those may be an application. Perhaps the most popular interpretation of this parable is that it is a picture of serving, building God's kingdom, God has distributed his gifts to the church, commissioned the church to go out into all the world in his power, under his authority, to do his work, empowering us to be witnesses, equipping the church to see the kingdom grow. And if we don't do that, it's not so much we lose our salvation, but we don't have the joy and the benefit of serving Jesus. The people who would benefit from our serving don't get it, and we get deprived, in a sense, the rewards of that, and that's where the being cast into darkness. Our light doesn't shine, but we stay in darkness because we don't share. So with that interpretation in mind, what's so good about the servants is, first of all, that they accepted what they were given. Just think about that for a moment in our own life. They accepted what they were given. The one with 5 bags didn't say, hang on, I should have all 8. The one with 2 bags didn't say, hang on a minute, somebody's got 5. They accepted what they were given. And as good servants, we are called to do the same. Accept what God has given to us. Not despise what he's given us and gifted us in. Not wish we were like somebody else, but actually accept what he has given us. If we compare ourselves with other people, then we can belittle what God has given to us. Over the years, and probably you've heard it said before, people have said, I can't do anything, all I can do is pray. Almost as if prayer is a very minimal, lower class offering, and yet in fact, people won't be able to do what they do unless there are people praying for them. Prayer is a highbrow calling, but it's very easy to belittle the role and say, it's all I can do is pray. Accepting and being grateful for the gifts God has given us is part of our act of love towards God. Thank you, God, for what you've given me and use through me to be a blessing to other people. Wonder if you ever say, I'm just a, and maybe possibly put down the gifts that God has given you. If we accept the gift we've been given and then we allow God to use us through it, many people may be blessed. When Paul talked about gifts, he kind of gave a similar impression to this parable in the sense he said, when God gives out gifts, he gives different gifts to different people. A bit like the stewards get different amounts of money to work with. God gives us different gifts. And we're probably familiar with this in 1 Corinthians 12, with these spiritual gifts. One given to give a wise advice, wisdom to others, the same given a special knowledge. Same spirit gives faith to another, the same to someone else, the one spirit gives a gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another to prophesy, another to discern a message from the Spirit of God, another one to speak in unknown languages and interpret, distributes the gifts as he decides everyone should. When Paul writes to the church in Rome, he gives a different list. In Romans 12, he says, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So God has given the ability to prophesy. Well, speak it out as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. If God's entrusted you with different gifts, spiritual gifts, natural gifts, or different kinds of gifts, don't bury them in the ground and say, I'm just a... Let your light so shine before men. Use the gifts which God has given you to be able to bless him. And that's the second thing. What was so good about the servants? They accepted what they were given, but also they activated what they were given. The man with the 5 bags, the 5 talents, went out at once and put the money to work, and so did the one with 2. They both had the same task. They both committed themselves to the same task. And they both doubled what they had started with, because it activated what they were given and bore fruit. And it may be that we can list many things that we cannot do. That's okay. Maybe you know many people that can do things that you can't. That's okay. But that doesn't mean that we should undermine and belittle what we can do and what we've been gifted to do. God calls us to be active, good servants, enthusiastically serving according to our gifting. And that could be that your gifting could be musical gifts that you could use in worship, not just here on a Sunday, but in other aspects. It could be wherever people meet. It could be your gifts are practical, painting, decorating, building. You could use your skills to be able to help to maintain this building or to be able to help other people in their homes who have need. It might well be your gifting is catering, and you can help to be able to provide food and sustenance at different events. or even help people difficulty with cooking, you could help them. It might be you're really good with children, and you can help within children's ministry here, or support families who've got young children and maybe are struggling. Or maybe you have technical skills, and you could use those to be a blessing, certainly to us here on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, because we need more people to be involved in helping to put stuff up on the screens. But also it might be to help other people who have technical problems at home. And you can say, look, if you know, rather than call out people and cost loads of money, I have some skills that I'd like to offer to be able to help you. Let's not despise how God has gifted us. Don't bury it in the ground, but allow it to flourish. In this story, both of the good servants get a reward. Matthew 25:21 says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's what he said to the one who had five and made five more. And then when he came to the one who had two and made two more, he said exactly the same words. It wasn't about the amount of money that the men made. It was about what they did with what they had, regardless of how much it was to start with. God isn't interested in getting bigger and better than somebody else, but just being faithful with what he's given you and I, and doing the most we can with what he's gifted us in. Peter writes this in 1 Peter 4:10, just so I come to a close. He says this, everyone should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's our reward. The reward is not so much about us, but the reward that God is praised through Jesus Christ, through our service. So it might be this week, it would be good for us to reflect on how God has gifted us. What would we say? Other people might better help us in that, because they often can recognize things in us that we don't always see ourselves. How has God gifted us? And then identify ways in which we are or could use those gifts. Maybe ask if there are any other ways than we're currently serving that we could be a blessing to others, to provide people support, to help carry the load, maybe even relieve some pain. So just while we ponder a little bit about that, and before we draw our meeting to a close, I'm going to play a song by a man called Matthew West. And this encourages people to not just look at everything around us and say, do you know what, God, I wish you would do something. Instead, the call is, well, I've called you to do something.
This morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down, and how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I'm gonna do something.
Not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. Lord, thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for the ways in which you have equipped us, gifted us, and I pray that you will help us to accept and actively use them. To use them to worship you, and to be the means of helping and supporting others. Help us, Lord, as we seek to be good servants. In Jesus' name, amen.